Well, good morning, everyone. It feels a bit like good afternoon since I started off today at 4:30 this morning. I never thought I'd end up traveling 200 miles to get to church. But there you go, that's what it takes. Well, it's a holiday, so let's turn to Deuteronomy 16. Not very original, but there you go. We've been doing it now for a great many years. But not Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, but Deuteronomy 16, verse 10. Because I'm reading through this, I see there's another section of Scripture here that can equally be applied to the offering. And just so happens it falls nicely into 3 points. So Deuteronomy 16, verse 10, it says, "Then you shall keep the feast of weeks to the Eternal your God with a tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you." Verse 11. "You shall rejoice before the Lord your God." We just sang that in the first hymn. "You and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger, and the fatherless and the widower among you, at the place where the Eternal your God chooses to put his name." And verse 12, "And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes." So let's have a quick look at these three points in reverse order. Let's start off with point number 3. "And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt." Why should we remember an event that happened 3,500 years ago? And yet, this thing of Egypt, I think I actually spoke on this last year. It's mentioned way over 100 times in the Bible. The first time in Exodus, and the last time in Jude. And there are several hundred allusions to this event. And it's scattered right throughout the Bible. You see, these are the commands given to the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt, as they ceased being slaves, as they became free men, as they became the original church in the wilderness. And I just want to read through them. I'll give you the scripture. You can just make a note of them and read them later, because each section deserves a good read. Exodus 20, the very first one. The first thing they had to remember was Exodus 20, verse 2. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." Oh, that they had stuck to that. Why did he bring them out? Exodus 29, verse 46. There's one reason. Exodus 29, 46, "And they shall know that I am the Eternal God who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God, that I may dwell among them." This is what God wanted. He wanted to dwell with this nation. And another reason, in Deuteronomy 4, verse 20, "But the Lord has taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance." I had never read that before. To be a people of inheritance. He wants to dwell among us, and he wants us to be a people of inheritance, as you are to this day. Then there's a warning, Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. We must not forget. It says, "Beware that you do not forget the Eternal your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today." So important. People say, well, the law is no longer in force. It's kind of funny. You can trace it right back to Genesis, and right away in Revelation, it's still talking about God's law. But for some reason, some people think in this little time, this little 5 minutes, of, as God sees it, that law's done away with. I think not. We have to change, we're told. We've got to change. Leviticus 11, verse 45. "For I am the Lord your God that brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. You, therefore, be holy, for I am holy." Be separate. Be sanctified. You're special. We must also remember, this is in Hosea 13, verse 4. "Yet I am the Eternal your God from the land of Egypt, and you shall know God but me. Why? For there is no Savior beside me. I'm it, he says. Isn't this all good stuff for the foundation of a church? If only we could follow all this. And in Jude verse 5, the last time it's mentioned, there is a tragic warning. And it says, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved his people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. All the people that went into the wilderness over the age of 20 died in the wilderness because they accused God of taking them into the wilderness so their children would die. And God said, no, your children will make it and you won't. But isn't it interesting in this age, if we apply this to the church today, if you apply this to this era of the church, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this from whom? From Herbert W. Armstrong, who kept these feast days for 7 long years, not knowing why. And then God opened his mind. I think that's amazing. Would any of us have that patience? And if you want to look up out of Egypt or just Egypt, you can check the other 200-odd scriptures for yourself. But those are just a few that I thought would give you the flavor for this day. The second point, verse 11. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. And at the end it says, in a place where the Lord your God has chosen to place his name. And it was kind of funny because we were all feeling, I think, a little bit beaten and bruised just after Passover last year, having kept it on our own. And just before Pentecost, I was on the phone to Mr. Bowles and said, wouldn't it be nice if we could meet under the Severn Bridge or something? And he phoned me, I think, the next night and said, we've got a hall. And guess what? It's called the Armstrong Hall. And I thought to myself, God does have a sense of humor. But the first part, it says, you shall rejoice. That is not a suggestion. It is a commandment. You shall rejoice. How are we supposed to rejoice? We have seen 2 serious accidents this morning. One car looked like it had been put through a shredding machine, literally. We've seen 7 or 8 police cars either zooming past us or zooming down the other side, all the Christmas tree lights flashing and everything. We live in a world full of terrorism. Any nation is liable to get walloped by Al-Qaeda. We live in a world full of fear. You drive down the motorway, you keep looking at the motorway bridges in case there's a 7-year-old up there with half a house brick to smash it through your windscreen. We look at the breakup of family life in our own country. 45% of all children in this country of ours do not live with their original parents. 45%. Taxes are going higher and higher. Our leaders lie through their teeth on a daily basis. And they smile and they say, believe me, trust me. Our children have gone out of control. And the list goes on and on and on. And then there's the other side. 3,000 children a day. I saw this on the internet the other day on a news service. 3,000 children a day in Africa die from malaria, which is totally preventable. But since those African nations all got their freedom from the tyrannical British, they stopped spraying because it costs money. And now all their children are dying. There are whole villages in Nigeria where all the people are dead from AIDS. And so it goes on. There's not much to rejoice about. I looked at the teletext last night. There were 7 items, and 5 of them were bus crashes, 20 killed here, so many murdered there, plane crashes through a roof somewhere else. There was just nothing nice. And yet God says, we've got to rejoice here today. The key to it is we've got to look to the future. That's why Satan got it into the church that prophecy, prediction, addiction, and so forth and so on, stop them looking to the future, because if they don't look to the future, they've got no hope. Romans 8:19. Romans 8:19-24. This is the hope For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And that redemption means liberation procured by the payment of a ransom. And that's why we're here. And here's the key to this point. The keeping of God's holy days reminds us on an annual basis of God's plan for the whole of mankind. It reminds us of our part in that plan. And when you have this vision of the future, then and only then can you truly rejoice. Isn't that why we're here today? We have this vision of the future, when all this mess can be cleaned up. And we can have the world tomorrow that Mr. Armstrong preached about for so many years. So we'll go back to the first point. Take up an offering. That's verse 10 of Deuteronomy 16. And you shall keep the feast of weeks unto the Eternal your God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Eternal your God, according as the Lord your God has blessed you. God wants us to learn to give, because that's what he is. He's given us this place here today. He's given us the peace. He's given us the understanding. He's given us the understanding of the future. We know where we're going. That is priceless. You cannot put a price tag on that. So here we will now take up the offering. And while the offering is being taken up, somewhere I have a piece of paper, it just says, Psalm 122, I was glad.
I was glad, glad when they said to me, let us go up to see the house of the Eternal One, that our feet may stand within your gates again. Your gates, Jerusalem. I was glad, glad when they said to me, Jerusalem is built, a city clearly built as one, where the tribes will go, the tribes of God our Lord, to thank the Eternal's name. I was glad, glad when they said to me that David's house and throne are set in righteous judgment clear. Pray for peace within, within Jerusalem, and them that love her bless. Peace within, and wealth within your gates, for all my brethren there, my friends, my close companions' sakes. Peace within this house of the Eternal One, that I its good may see.